the safest place to be is where God has called you to be. God wants to show you your future. He wants to show you that He has good plans, no matter where you are right now. He has plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. And so no matter where you are, call on Him. Ask others to walk with you. COVID or political uproar or financial crisis, none of that can separate us from His love. Sunday, and I just want to invite you for the next 6 weeks, Monday night 7:30, you can log into the Zoom. There's now on the website one Zoom address that you can click on for every meeting. So Thursday night, the same thing, you click on that link and you can join at 7:30 the prayer meeting. And Sunday night is the Bible reading in Philippians. I think Philippians 3 is coming Sunday. It's just good to be together. We can interact, we can chat a little bit, pray for each other's needs and celebrate victories. And so yeah, please log in on those meetings. So the foundational scripture for the covenant study is Ephesians 2:12, and I'm paraphrasing, and I just want to start with that here today. Without Christ, it says, we have no part in the covenants of promise. It's plural. So without Christ, we have no part in the covenants of promise, no hope without God in this world. And so I felt that's such a deep scripture, the covenants of promise. That's what it's all about. And so please join the meetings. We have a covenant with each other to walk together. God made a covenant with Jesus so that we can have a part in the eternal inheritance of His kingdom. So through the last 6,000 years, God made many promises and covenants and agreements with people. And it started with Adam. He interacted with Adam, and when he fell, Adam and Eve, and they fell, he slaughtered an animal and clothed them to demonstrate for the covering of nakedness it needed to have shedding of blood. Then with Cain, when he killed Abel, God made a mark on his forehead so that nobody would touch him as a revenge. And there he made an agreement with Cain, with Noah, when Noah sacrificed the animals. After the flood, when he was on dry land, he made an altar and burned some clean animals, and then God showed up and spoke to him and made an agreement with him, a covenant. And the rainbow is still today the sign of that covenant. Of course, then there is Abraham, Moses, Joshua, and Judges. And those are actually in that way the books of the Bible are ordered too. We go to Joshua and then the Judges. And after the Judges, there comes this tiny little book, 4 chapters only, and it's called the Book of Ruth. And in it starts with the story of a woman named Naomi. And it's just before the kings came and Samuel and so on and so forth. So if you want to go with me in Ruth chapter 1, and I just fill you in a little bit on the story. So Naomi, they were in a hard place, her husband Elimelech and her, and so during the Judges it is actually said that a lot of people would not fear God. Everybody did as they pleased. There was no strong leaders. And so once in a while God raised up a church, and the people, the nation came back and followed the Lord again. But then when they would go astray, then bad things happened, war and famine came. And so anyway, in this story here, Naomi, she was starving and her husband. So they went to Moab, which is an ungodly nation neighboring Israel, and they had no covenant with God. They had no knowledge of the living God, the creator of heaven and earth. And so there she is, her sons married Moabite women, And after a while, her husband died, and then her sons died as well. And she alone, with the two daughter-in-laws, they were in need. Because that time there was no assistance, and they were very vulnerable, unprotected, alone. And so after a while, she heard that things have gone better in Israel. And so I start reading chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. One day, she got herself together, she and her two daughter-in-laws, to leave the country of Moab and set out for home. She had heard that God had been pleased to visit his people and give him food. And so she started out from the place she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, with her on the road back to the land of Judah. After a short while on the road, Naomi told her two daughter-in-laws, go back home and live with your mother, and may God treat you as graciously as you treated your deceased husbands and me. May God give each of you a new home and a new husband. She kissed them, and they cried openly. So they left. And as they came near Jerusalem, or near Bethlehem, verse 16 and 17 I read, but Ruth said, oh, she wants to send the daughter-in-laws home. Sorry. That's the thing. She wants to send them home, but Ruth, she says, no, I will not. And so there Ruth said, don't force me to leave you. Don't make me go home. Where you go, I go. Where you live, I live. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I'll die. And that's where I'll be buried. So help me, God. Not even death itself is going to come between us. And so when I hear Ruth talking like that, I'm just thinking, she speaks covenant talk. She understood somehow by watching Naomi and her husband and how they worship the God of the Israelites, the Jehovah. She realized that that is the true God, the creator of heaven and earth. And so she comes into believing in that God, and she understands that this God is a covenant-keeping God. And so she is totally committed to stick to Naomi and to go back, and she wants to have part in that covenant. So as they go back, she has an encounter. Maybe I just have to backtrack a little bit, because it says when they go back, they arrive at Bethlehem. And when I read that story, that they come back, they come to Bethlehem, I saw it as an analogy. It's so beautiful, because when we born in Moab, like we are born in sin, the best of us, we all are born in sin. Without Jesus, we are lost for all eternity. But then Bethlehem is where the Savior was born. And so this Ruth, she understands that God, this covenant-keeping God, is worthy to be followed and to be found. And so as she leaves Moab and goes with Naomi, and she ends up in Bethlehem, where the Savior is born, I just thought that's beautiful, the picture that is painted here. And then Naomi, of course, she speaks or represents the law. She tells the story about God and the laws, the rules and the regulations, and somehow it brings conviction to Ruth to come to believe in that God. And so they come now into that Bethlehem. And Ruth, the first thing she does in Bethlehem, she takes care of Naomi by working in the harvest. Because the time when they came back, it was the barley harvest. And there too, you know, you and me, we are in the greatest harvest of this earth. Like, do you know that today more people live on the planet that believe in Jesus than have ever died believing in Jesus and believing in God? So the harvest is great. And so we are called to take part, to work in the harvest, right? And so Ruth, when she comes with Naomi to Bethlehem, the first thing she does, she takes part in working in the harvest, cleaning the fields, gathering leftovers that fell on the ground so that Naomi could live, right? And so the next scripture I would like to read, chapter 2, verse 8 to 12. So Ruth has now been gleaning, and just by God's leading, of course, She ended up in the field of Boaz, which was a relative, and according to Jewish custom, one of the relatives should take care of Ruth, marry her, and give her children so that there would be descendants and that there would be somebody to take care of them when they are older. That was the custom. And so she ends up in the field of one of those relatives. His name is Boaz. And so chapter 2, verse 8 to 12. Then Boaz spoke to Ruth, listen, my daughter, from now on, don't go to any other field to glean. Stay right here in this one and stay close to my young women. Watch where they are harvesting and follow them. And don't worry about a thing. I've given orders to my servants not to harass you. When you get thirsty, feel free to go drink from the water buckets that the servants have filled. She dropped to her knees, then bowed her face to the ground. How does this happen that you should pick me out and treat me so kindly, me, a foreigner? Boaz answered her, I have heard all about you, heard about the way you treated your mother-in-law after the death of your husband, and how you left your father and mother and the land of your birth, and have come to live among a bunch of total strangers. God reward you well for what you have done, with a generous bonus beside from God, to whom you have come seeking protection under his wings. And there it ends up, to whom you have come. Have we come to God for protection? Is he the one we trust, right? And you know, before this conversation, actually, Boaz invited Ruth for lunch. And now when I read the story there, I just thought, you know, for me, somebody invited me to a meeting in a church. It was actually a bigger gathering. And there I just felt the tug of the Holy Spirit in my heart to just surrender. I felt drawn towards this Jesus, right? And so here too, Ruth has this experience, this lunch where Boaz is kind to her. And he makes sure she gets good gleaning in her field. And that's how the favor of God is drawing each one of us closer into a relationship. And no matter how circumstances are, if they're good or bad, God wants to woo us closer towards him. And there he tells Ruth, stick to my workers till the end of the harvest. And see, that's what God wants you and me to do, to stick to the harvest. If you are gathering with him, if you are out there and just shining as we maintain our relationship with God and with other fellow workers in the harvest, with other people that believe in Jesus, we encourage each other. We stir one another up to good works, and we join together to impact the community and to share the gospel. And then the promise here is, you won't get abused in a stranger's field. A single woman alone on a field in those days was very vulnerable. There was no police to punish if they would get attacked or abused. And so she was in grave danger. But here he says, stick to my workers, because I have told them to keep an eye on you. She was protected. And I feel for us too, you know, the safest place for us to be is if we are doing what God has called us to do. I know a missionary, they were in an inner city somewhere, I think in Manila or somewhere, and it was very rough neighborhood where they were working, and they were having young kids, and somebody said, aren't you afraid for your kids in that place? And then the missionary looked to that person and says, you know what? The safest place to be is where God has called you to be. And I really believe that's what he is highlighting here too. And you know, being with other women brings friction, but she won't get raped. Because you know, in church too, like if we are connected to each other, and the closer we get to each other, the easier we could get friction. Maybe those women on the field, maybe they laughed at her accent, and her cultural values were probably different, and so on. And maybe there were frictions among them, but it's still way safer to stay there than to go and look for another field and get raped. Chapter 2, verse 21 to 23. Let's see here. Ruth the Moabite said, well, listen to this. She's talking to Naomi there. Listen to this. Boaz also told me, stick with my workers until my harvesting is finished. Naomi said to Ruth, that's wonderful, dear daughter. Do that, you'll be safe in the company of this young of his young women. No danger now of being raped in some stranger's field. So Ruth did it. She stuck close to Boaz's young women, gleaning in the fields daily until both the barley and the wheat harvesting were finished. And she continued living with her mother-in-law. And I love the heart of Ruth, how she has just she listens to Naomi, to the advice she gets. You know, like you and me, when we read the Bible and the Word of God is convicting us and sometimes cutting, and sometimes it challenges us to change, and it's not easy, but somehow she was committed to that task. She was committed to stay in that field, to work in the field, and to look after Naomi. And the safety that's over her through that, I really believe it's for you and me too. When we follow the Lord, He wants to protect us. He wants to keep us safe, you know, and to bring us into a safe place where we can be for all eternity together with Him. But without Him, we are so vulnerable. It's so easy for us to get our hardened and to be in a place where the enemy can throw bitterness and offense into our heart, and where we suddenly lose that shine, we lose that effectiveness, and it can be many, many other things. And so I want to just encourage you and just to continue to seek the Lord and be in His presence. Because the end of the story, and you can definitely read it on your own, it's beautiful how it ends. But because she actually, Ruth, becomes the great grandmother of King David. It's beautiful how God is drawing people that actually did not belong to that covenant of Israel. He drew them in and puts them right into that very important family line. And so for you too, God has great plans. You know, the law, it often convicts us of our depravity. It brought us to Christ. But then once you have accepted Jesus, God wants to show you your future. He wants to show you that He has good plans. No matter where you are right now, He's the Redeemer, the Kingsman Redeemer. Boaz is called in this story. And that's what Jesus is. He wants to redeem. He wants to bring back to life stuff that has died and give us a new future and a hope. And He has plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. And so no matter where you are, call on Him. Ask others to walk with you. Stay with the workers in the harvest. And together we want to see the kingdom come. And you know, COVID or political uproar or financial crisis, none of that can separate us from His love. He's committed to be your provider. He's committed to be your healer. And He is your defender. He's your rear guard. And so as you walk with Him, you will not get raped, spiritually speaking. So stay close to Jesus. And if any of you here, if you don't know Jesus, just say, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Fall at His feet and just accept Him. Because Jesus says, nobody that comes to me, I will push away.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails. Till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father.